This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 15th, and time now for Sean Johnson and our State Capitol Report. And Sean joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Hey, it looks like the legislature is going to vote today in special session on the state budget.
Yeah, and this is a revised version of the budget that the governor introduced in February. And for him to take this route, instead of letting the conference committee sort of hash out their differences, it's kind of a spectacular move and a sign that he didn't think that anything was getting done that way.
Well, not much was getting done, was it?
we still don't have a budget, and it's October, 3.5 months late. So, I don't think you can blame people for trying creative ideas here.
What is, what is the governor's compromise budget that the legislature will be voting on, the key elements of it?
The key elements, it's largely a Democratic document still. There are a number of initiatives there that the governor wanted that are still in there. His health care plan that would increase the government safety net to ensure that all children have health insurance. There's a little bit more room for local governments to grow. The big sticking points are still over some of the taxes in this budget. And specifically, the size of the tobacco tax and then this hospital tax. And those are both things that the governor put in there as a way to generate money for Medicaid, government health care for the, poor and disabled. Definite philosophical differences with Republicans on those.
Yeah. Isn't this how we got to this special session? Didn't the Assembly Speaker, Mike Hipsch, originally agree to a cigarette tax hike, which at the time was $1.25, but
right.
Then came back and said, well, we'll accept a lower increase than that. But so isn't that what kind of set the governor off?
Yeah, and it's hard to know, it's hard to know what went into that decision. But we did hear Speaker Hipsch say publicly that he had offered a full $1.25 increase into the cigarette tax. He's now backed off of that to a 75-cent increase. And so Governor Doyle was asked about why are you calling this special session instead of continuing with negotiations. He said it was because Republicans were walking away from the table.
We were really coming to the point where this was truth time. I mean, you really had to say, okay, I'm willing to make a deal. And the way they ran and hid from that, I think probably these leaders are not willing to make a deal. I think they're under too much right-wing pressure. And I think that's why I hope by the call for the special session, we're going to see other legislative voices emerge in this.
So what does Assembly Speaker Hipsch say about this?
Well, he says that, he's going to bring it up for a vote, which it would have been in his power to just bottle this up and not give it a vote. So it's kind of significant that he's decided we're going to bring it out there and let all our members decide on it, because all Democrats have to do is pick off maybe five Republican votes, depending on how many Democrats vote for this bill. It's not a lot of GOP lawmakers that they have to please. And there's a possibility that you could see an amendment drafted or this budget sweetened a little bit for a few lawmakers in contested districts to the point where they say, I'm happy to vote for this compromise. But the speaker has been pretty firm all week, and he said that the state won't have a budget for a very, very long time, in his words, if Democrats don't back off on some of these tax increases.
I am anxiously waiting for that headline that will show that that there is no budget in Wisconsin because the Democrats will not relinquish on tax increases. I don't think that headline's coming soon, but that's really why we don't have a budget. If the Democrats would relinquish all of the tax increases that they want to do and all of the increased spending and meet us halfway, as we have tried to do, there would have been a budget a long time ago.
Any, feeling, Sean, as to whether the general public sides with the Democrats versus the Republicans on this whole budget stalemate?
I don't know. And it seems like that's what both sides are battling for at this point, is that public sentiment. They want to appear the side that's working for a budget and working for the right priorities. And the other guy is the one that's holding this thing up. So I guess the short answer is we may know next November if this really is an issue in voters' minds, whether or not one side played out better in this or not.
Yeah. Well, let me ask listeners right now. What do you side with the Democrats on this budget debate? Do you side with the Republicans on the budget debate? Or maybe it's a pox on both their houses as far as you're concerned. 1-800-642-1234. That's the call-in number. Yes, we are taking your pledges, but we also are taking your calls on air as usual. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Back to the budget that's going to be voted on today in the special session. You say that the sticking points include the cigarette tax, which apparently the governor put in there at $1.25 a pack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hospital tax, which, again, this was something that the Hospital Association opposed, but then it withdrew last week or the week before. It withdrew its opposition to this tax.
Right. And, you know, that's not that they're not out there publicly backing it. But for them to step away from that at this late stage in the game certainly sends a message. And the whole idea behind this hospital tax is you assess hospital profits and basically works as an accounting trick to generate more federal Medicaid dollars. So overall, the state makes out better, and hospitals that have the larger concentration of, you know, poor patients, Medicaid patients, make out better under this hospital tax in theory. And yeah. So that's why Governor Jim Doyle said, you know, he put this plan back in the budget.
We got lots of people who want to talk, but I don't want to be self-serving, but our listeners have certainly heard that the assembly version of the state budget severely cut, eliminated state funding for public radio. Sean, what does this compromise budget that the governor's putting before the legislature do to public radio?
The compromise budget the governor's putting out there includes all funding for public broadcasting and the Educational Communications Board, and those mm-hmm. are two areas where funding would have been, you know, pretty severely cut back. So that's in there. The budget also, though, includes less new money for the University of Wisconsin than the original budget the governor introduced. And so if, you know, that's
$25 million
right,
less than he originally proposed.
Right. And yeah. So, I mean, the university certainly, it's in yeah. their power to move that around as they see fit.
Let's take a few calls anyway. Ann in Madison joins us first. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, people pay their taxes ahead of time. You know, it's for the coming year. And the people who are paying taxes are the average citizens of Wisconsin, the members of WMC and great big business is hardly paying any taxes. And my question is, the Republicans, and I think you said about half the Republicans in the legislature, have taken the pledge, not to raise taxes. And my question for them is, and I think every Democratic legislator ought to ask this at a press conference, who have they given this pledge to, and what are they getting in return? And I think it's very obvious what they're getting in return. No more contributions to their mm-hmm. campaigns from big business if they don't agree that big business won't have to pay any more taxes than it's paying now, and that's almost nothing.
Thank you, Ann. Anything neutral to say on that, Sean?
Well, I mean, I think you'd find lawmakers who have not signed that pledge who are still going to be backed by big business. Those who have signed it are from districts where they feel a certain amount of pressure to take these all or nothing pledges. And I think it puts Speaker Mike Hipsch in a tough bargaining position, because the minute he agrees to one tax increase, and he already has with the cigarette tax, how do you negotiate the rest of the budget? And I think he's still trying to figure that out.
Albert in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with that. Anytime you increase a program or a tax, it's rare that you can get it back or you can reduce the size of government. And I'm not so sure we want to be increasing national health care in the first place, let alone increasing it out of a cigarette tax. In this case, up to a dollar or more.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We're almost out of time, Sean. But to clarify, that cigarette tax increase would pay for what?
It'll help expand the existing Medicaid programs. It's not for the universal health care plan that Senate Democrats mm-hmm. wanted. But it also frees up money for the state to spend in other areas. That is, you have more money to spend on corrections because you have this new source of revenue for health care. So it's a little bit of a shell game.
Yeah. In 30 seconds, so you want to guess what's going to happen today?
Well, the speaker says, the fact that he's bringing it out for a vote and he says it's going to fail, it may be a good sign that it's going to fail. It could take a long time as Democrats try to pick off a few Republican votes, but the speaker sounds pretty confident.
Well, we'll get an update next week. And oh yeah, in 15 seconds, the transportation budget will be considered separately?
Yeah. Because they're not close on that one. Yeah. And that's got another controversial issue. And this is an area where every lawmaker wants roads, but they just have to figure out how to pay for them.
Thank you, Sean. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Monday, October the 15th. You're listening to our state capitol report, and in the next portion of the program, we will talk about whether people applying to be law enforcement officers in the state of Wisconsin should be required to go through a psychological evaluation. What do you think? Are you surprised to learn that that is not already required by law? Well, that could change. We will talk with a state representative who is introducing legislation to require the psychological screenings, and we will welcome your questions and your views on this. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is Ann Raychuk, a Democratic state representative from Balsam Lake. She is also a former Polk County sheriff, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. I was surprised to read in the news that this already isn't a requirement. Why not?
Well, I think that the majority of law enforcement agencies around the state are already doing psychological screenings, Joy. I think that the agencies that are not doing it are doing it because they don't have the funding or the resources available.
So would your bill deal with the funding, too?
I think the bill would have to deal with the funding issue. As a former sheriff, I always got very upset whenever I would get a state mandate of any kind that was unfunded. So we will certainly be addressing that issue.
Yeah. How much, when you were sheriff in Polk County, you did screen applicants?
Correct.
Or there was a psychological screening.
Yes.
And this was done, I guess. Why was this done?
It's really done, Joy, as a risk management tool. I think we need to provide administrators with everything possible out there that can reduce risk and make officers safer and also make the public safer. And so this is just really a great way to do that. It's no guarantee. There are no guarantees in life, but I think it's absolutely necessary that we do this.
Yeah. You're not saying this would have prevented the tragedy in Crandon?
I am not.
Yeah. It is at least one thing that can be done to at least do everything possible to prevent something like this.
Yes, psychological evaluations really do measure maturity levels. They just measure a lot of different issues that can help us make good decisions about hiring.
Yeah, I did talk to a couple of guests last week when we first learned of your bill, which you are introducing in conjunction with some other senators and representatives, but both were saying, "Well, gee, it's not going to prevent. It wouldn't have prevented this anyway. So what's the use?"
Well, I think the use is that it could have prevented an officer, or it could have prevented a candidate from becoming an officer, thus having access to weapons like an AR-15. Although you can buy an AR-15 now, if you wanted to, but that would take some planning and some premeditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that an AR-15, the duty weapon, was used in this incident.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of callers online. John in Kakana joins us first. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Very good.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. I used to be a highway patrolman in the state of Kansas back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, they did a lot of psychological testing. They were looking at our morals and ethics and aggression levels and things like that. And I know that it's gotten even more intensive for candidates more recently, so I was surprised to hear that you don't have that up here.
Well, John, as I had mentioned earlier, the majority of agencies around the state do provide psychological evaluations. And thank you for your service, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome. Probably the most fun job I ever had.
Really? That's good. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, I had a wife that wasn't real thrilled about it because, you know, you worry when guys are out on the road, stuff like that. Especially state troopers tend to have less immediate backup if they get into trouble. But so, you know, it's a big problem for the family sometimes to worry about things like that. But I know that most officers are good officers, but it does help to have that initial check and probably even some ongoing checks if they've had incidents where they had to be involved in a high domestic violence case or something where shooting or things were involved, to just check and see what their psychological levels are after the fact, kind of a PTSD check.
Critical incident debriefing. I couldn't agree more.
You bet.
Thank you very much, John, for the call. Representative Raychuk, Crandon and or Forest County apparently did not have this candidate screened or others, presumably because they cannot afford it. Is that what you're saying?
Joy, I have not had direct communication with either Crandon or Forest County. They have a lot on their plate right now, and I expect that I will have communication with them at some time to express my condolences, but I have not talked to them directly. I have heard, though, from various sources that that this particular candidate did not have a psychological evaluation. But again, this is not meant as a Monday morning quarterback kind of thing. I am not in any way critiquing what happened there or their hiring process. I'm just trying to provide administrators with an additional tool.
Yeah. And when you say, you do, though, say most of the communities in Wisconsin already do have candidates go through this psychological screening. How do you know that?
Well, as a mm-hmm. sheriff mm-hmm. and law enforcement officer for 32 years, we have statewide communication, mm-hmm. and so that is just one of the things, of course, that has been discussed in the past, and the cost of it. The agencies that are most likely to not have psychological evaluations available to them are the smaller agencies that, as I said earlier, that don't have the funding.
Yeah. So somehow you would, through this bill or through the budget, earmark some money for these tests?
Joy, we haven't figured out yet what the funding stream is going to be. I am talking across the aisle in both houses with other legislators about what is really the most efficient and most effective way to promote this legislation.
Yeah. Mike in Rhinelander joins us now. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
I was just listening to the conversation, and I worked in law enforcement for 12 years in another agency outside of Wisconsin, actually, and the agencies that I worked with, they mandated, obviously, psychological testing, and a couple things, being that Crandon is only half an hour away from where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
The thing that shocked me the most, well, there's two points. One is that they didn't require psychological testing, and two is the age of the deputy. I realize that 18 is an adult, but I as a personal opinion, I personally wouldn't have anyone on a department under the age of 23, for the simple fact that I don't feel that a person has the any life experience, well, the proper life experience to handle the stresses and the possibilities of events in that type of job.
Yeah,
and the psychological part of it, I feel that should be done. In this particular case, I'm not blaming the department at all. I mean, their process is there for a reason, and, you know, whether it be funding or otherwise, but my thought is that had a psychological evaluation been done on this person, I think it would have probably raised some red flags.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, I agree with you in that age is a maturity factor. However, there are 18-year-olds that are over in Iraq fighting for our country. So we have mm-hmm. to look at that as well. But you're right, again, that psychological profiling does also measure maturity level.
Yeah.
And that is something that we need to look at. And again, not critiquing anything about Forest County or the Crandon Police Department. I'm sure that they have excellent officers on their force and will continue to do so. Wisconsin actually has a reputation for having high-quality officers.
Yeah. Stephanie in Pittsville is with us now. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. I would just like to comment that the recent acts of violence in Wisconsin done by police officers, they were acts of domestic violence, and people who are perpetrators of domestic violence don't have mental health issues. Typically, they're psychological, you know, they're all there. Most of them could pass psychological tests. And if one would want to prevent this from happening in the future, we should look at their values and attitudes towards women.
Hmm.
Because that's really what these incidences, that's the core of what these incidences were. They were domestic violence.
Stephanie, I certainly agree with you, and this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this was an act of domestic violence because it involved a former girlfriend. So I do agree with you certainly on that point. And the psychological evaluation really does assess values and attitudes towards people in general, which would include attitudes towards women, and we have to remember that both men and women died in this incident. But you're right; it was domestic. It was an act of domestic violence.
Yeah. Well, boy, we have many more callers for you, but no more time except to have you tell us what do you hope we can learn from this tragedy in Crandon.
I think that we need to all pay attention to what's happening with our friends and our loved ones, and keep track of what's happening in their lives. If they're extremely stressed out, talk to someone about it, talk to them about it. I just don't know that we can ever completely avoid a situation like this, but keeping track of our loved ones and also keeping track of our employees, too, to see how they're doing and stay in touch with them and have open communications, I think, is the very best way that we can monitor situations like this.
Representative Raychuk, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Joy.
Ann Raychuk, Democratic State Representative from Balsam Lake, former Polk County Sheriff. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we will talk about green cleaning, how to clean our houses without toxic chemicals. That's coming up after 8. Right now, Wisconsin Public Radio's Cheryl Gasser joins me for the last few minutes of this program, because we are in our pledge drive and we are in an hour with a challenge grant, and we have a goal to reach with your help.
We have a goal to reach. It's $6,000 for the hour by 8 o'clock, so in the next 10 minutes. And we have so far raised, thanks to five generous members, $855 so far this hour. So we have a little over $5,100 left to raise. And when we reach that goal in the next 10 minutes, we will receive an additional $500 to existing members of Wisconsin Public Radio. They wanted to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio with their donation of an additional $500. 1-800-383-9772. That's the number to call, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
Pledge any amount, whatever amount works for you. Every pledge is needed. Every pledge is appreciated. Your pledge helps pay for the program that you're listening to right now and the entire service of Wisconsin Public Radio. The budget, Wisconsin Public Radio's budget, counts on listener support for 31% of operational costs. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Make a pledge and help pay for this program.
Wisconsin Public Radio is truly a unique service, and we are lucky to have such strong listener support. You have come through for us in the past, and we're asking you to be here for us again with your pledge of support for the State Capitol Report, for the Week in Review, for everything you hear in between. Joy does an amazing job 15 hours a week of of programming on diverse topics. I'm amazed at what she does, and you should be too. You can tell her thank you for the wonderful job she does with a pledge of support now. WPR.org or 1-800-383-9772.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. And I certainly, I enjoy talking about state politics. And I actually enjoyed that this is one of the few places on the radio dial where you can get some in-depth talk and information about what's going on in at the state capitol. We've done the state capitol report every Monday during the 7 o'clock hour since January, and today we'll learn more whether Wisconsin will have a budget or not with the special session of the legislature going on. So it's fun talking about state politics. It's important to talk about state public policy issues, but I also enjoy talking about national politics and international issues as well. And sometimes it's fun to talk about cultural issues and things like food, like we did in our last hour, because all of these things are a slice of life. Our life is more than just politics. It's all of these things. And I really enjoy hearing from listeners all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond who also participate in these call-in programs. Now we are asking for your participation in a different way. That is to call 1-800-383-9772. Let me say that a little bit slower. 1-800-383-9772. Call that number and make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio of any amount. Consider the $10 a month level or more, because that will entitle you to the member benefit card, which is really good for all sorts of restaurants and cultural attractions and even B&Bs now. All sorts of benefits with the member benefit card. Yours for a pledge of $10 a month or more.
1-800-383-9772. That's the number to call. Making a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio is such an important step. It has a positive effect on what you hear on the radio, and it will help to continue to provide quality, in-depth discussion about issues of importance to you. So make that step. Make the call or go to the web, WPR.org or 800-383-9772. Either way, it takes 2 to 3 minutes and you're on your way, and it really will make a difference.
Thanks to Kristen in La Crosse, who called in a pledge this hour. She says she listens every morning. It's a lifeline. Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for pledging. Glad to have you listening and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And Mary Jo in Onalaska says there's no better programming on the radio. Well, thank you so much for calling in your pledge of support. Every pledge is important. Every pledge helps pay for this service. And your pledge is even more important than ever during this hour, because we have a challenge going on. When we reach $6,000, which is the goal this hour, we get the $500 challenge grant being offered by existing members to Wisconsin Public Radio. But you know what, Cheryl? If we don't reach the $6,000 goal, I know I'm supposed to be positive here, but if we don't get that money. So it's really important for you to call in now. If you're thinking about pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio sometime during this drive, do it now and help us get this challenge grant and meet this $6,000 goal.
1-800-383-9772. This is quality radio and quality costs. We're coming to you now to ask you to put a price and to put your own price on what Wisconsin Public Radio and this kind of quality is worth to you. A dollar a week, a dollar a day, maybe more. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
We had a dollar a day pledge a little earlier in the hour, and that was really nice. Somebody pledged $365. A lot of $120 pledges come in. That's about the average pledge, the $120 level. But I have seen pledges from $50 to $500 to $5,000. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. We just ask you to look into your heart, look into your wallet, and make that pledge to help pay for a programming service that you value. You understand that we are listener-supported radio, and your pledge helps pay for this service for someone who can't afford it. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. About $1,000 raised toward that $6,000 goal. We are going to fall short unless you decide to make that pledge this hour.
Your pledge will make the difference online at WPR.org or on the phone at 800-383-9772. We'd really love to hear from some new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. We've heard from one so far this hour. Maybe you've been listening for a long time and just thought, you know, we weren't talking to you. Well, we are talking to you. If you can hear us, we're talking to you. We're asking you to become a member now, whether you've been listening for weeks or for years. Become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Put your money where your ears are. 800-383-9772.
Here's what you get for your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio of $10 a month or more. You get the satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting a service that you value. You're paying for this program and paying a little bit for everything that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. You also, if you want it, will get the Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle, which is our new thank you gift for this drive in the spirit of reusing and not being wasteful, not having the plastic bottles that you buy in the store full of water, but our Wisconsin Public Radio reusable plastic bottle. And you get the member benefit card. That's a lot. Plus, you'll be helping us reach the $6,000 goal and getting the extra $500. So lots of reasons to pledge right now at 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
You can't go wrong with a pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. We actually have a money-back guarantee. You make a pledge, you become a member, you're not happy with what you hear, we'll give you your money back, but I guarantee that you're going to love what you hear. You're listening now. You're listening during your pledge drive. You enjoy Joy's Week in Review. You enjoy the State Capitol Report and everything in between. That's worth a pledge of support now. 800-383-9772, WPR.org. And again, when we reach that goal, it's going to take a lot of calls and a lot of web pledges. $6,000 is our goal this hour. When we reach it, we will receive an additional $500 from existing members to Wisconsin Public Radio, but we still have about $4,600 to raise.
1-800-383-9772. Let's get as close as possible to this $6,000 goal. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org. If you have a generous pledge to give to Wisconsin Public Radio, now would be a great time for that. Every pledge is appreciated, but a $500 a year pledge or more will also entitle you to membership to the 9XM Leadership Circle. This you get your own newsletter, we invite you to special events, and other benefits of being a 9XM Leadership Circle member for a $500 a year or more pledge. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Cheryl, thanks very much. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.